Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Hey everyone, we missed you. We're back from a big, big, long hiatus, but we're back better than ever here on the Press Box. We're super excited to be talking about Blackjacks basketball and Atletico Ottawa soccer in our first segment. Eric, how have you been so far, buddy?
I've been doing pretty good, man. Pretty good. How about you?
Not bad, not bad. I even actually got to see a Blackjacks game live in person, just like you, way back on last Saturday against Fraser Valley Bandits. They won 90-84. And I think after the loss against Edmonton on July 5th, I think the guys are really starting to get in their groove, practicing what works, getting rid of what doesn't. They were playing really well. They were either controlling the pace or keeping up with the pace the whole game. What are your thoughts on the Blackjack season so far?
Yeah, I can definitely see the progression, and they are getting better. They're coming off of an unfortunately heartbreaking loss the other night.
Oh, tell me about it.
In Guelph, but they have a home game coming up this Saturday, and it's going to be pretty hype. So I think that they can start to go on a bit of a roll and then hopefully challenge for a playoff spot, at least for the finals.
I hope so. And I just wish Johnny Buckets could be there for every game. It seems like he's taken the away games off, but it's clear that we're really missing him in the lineups for those away games. And talking about that game on Saturday, it's against the Edmonton Stingers, who were last year's champs, and they're going on like an insane run right now. I think they're 7-0 now in the season. So I think it's going to be a really good good match to see on Saturday. And if you're not doing anything for the next couple weeks, why not go see one of these Blackjacks games in person? An Edmonton game this Saturday at home, a Saskatchewan game on the 26th on the Monday. And you could also go see them take on the Guelph Nighthawks for the third time to see that tiebreaker on August 4th on a Wednesday. So if you got nothing better to do, why not see some awesome basketball, right?
Oh, for sure. And it'll be nice for the team to have that home crowd behind them for the first time this season on Saturday afternoon. So it's going to be exciting to watch. It's going to be exciting to have people in the stands, for them to be able to feed off of that energy and just enjoy a home stadium, like a home arena with fans. I'm really excited to see what kind of a team comes out on Saturday.
Absolutely. And you know, the Blackjacks aren't the only Ottawa sports teams to be making a statement in their league right now. Atletico Ottawa is well into their season now. They're 5 games in, I believe. Eric, what do you know about how our team's doing so far?
Yeah, so I mean, with Atletico Ottawa, they're obviously, as we've discussed on previous episodes, they're in their Winnipeg bubble right now. It's only an 8-game schedule for each of them. Right now, as we speak, they are 2 wins and 3 losses through 5 games, but that puts them in a tie for 4th place, and the top 4 teams move on to the championship. But there's a long way to go. They have 3 more games in the Winnipeg bubble on top of their entire rest of the season that they just announced this week for games at TD Place Stadium, as well as on the road in these other cities like Winnipeg, Calgary, and so on. So I think that Ottawa is kind of getting a bit of a stride going. They're getting their chemistry going because, again, a bunch of new players coming in this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, they only had a certain number of games, a short season in their PEI bubble. So this will be the first time that they'll be able to really get going. But also on top of that, like, you got to look at Atletico Ottawa. This is their 2nd year in the Canadian Premier League. And like, the craziest part is, until they get that home game, I think it's the end of July or beginning of August, they have yet to step foot on TD Place Field in front of fans. And just like the Blackjacks, they're going to be allowing fans. And technically, because of the stadium capacity, they're allowing basically up to 15,000 fans minimum for these games starting at the end of the month. So
that's incredible.
I'm not sure if they'll get that. I mean, when the Ottawa Fury was around, they were lucky to get 5,000-6,000 on average. So, I mean, I'm hoping that Atletico Ottawa gets one heck of a backing and people show up. People show up in numbers. It, again, just like Zach said about the Blackjacks, if you have nothing to do this summer and you want to get out enjoy the sun, enjoy some incredible Canadian soccer with some great Canadian superstars in the making. Get out to TD Place, buy tickets to Atletico Ottawa games, and get out and enjoy them.
Exactly. And, you know, there's still plenty of games left this season to start playing better defensively. I noticed they had 7 goals against in these 5 games, so they're definitely going to have to start keeping things tighter in terms of gameplay and defense. They have a game today at 5 against Valor FC, Winnipeg's team. Are you feeling a little biased towards cheering towards them, Eric? Or?
As an Atletico Ottawa fan, they need that bounce back because they lost just on July 3rd to Valor, and Valor is playing at home and they're playing in front of their home fans because they are allowing fans, a very limited number of fans, to the games in Winnipeg because of Manitoba's rules for COVID and stuff. But they'll be looking for a bounce back because they suffered a 2-0 loss, like I said, July 3rd to Valor. They'll be looking for revenge. It's going to be huge to try and get that advantage early in the season and then see what they can do once they get at home and doing these road trips to other stadiums.
Absolutely. Revenge is on the mind for our Ottawa teams this coming weekend. And hey, the CFL, as long as we're talking about Canadian sports, we got to mention that the CFL is not going to be partnering with the XFL. Real quick, Eric, I want to hear your thoughts on this. Me, I'm just happy that we're keeping Canadian sports Canadian.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't be happier. The CFL needed to stay the CFL. I don't agree with them wanting to talk to the XFL, but they did. They tried it. They tested it out. As of right now, there's no guarantees that anything's going to happen. They haven't said that it's not going to happen, but they haven't said that it's out of the question. So, I mean, there's still a possibility. And, I mean, training camp has just started for the Ottawa Red Blacks and the rest of the CFL. So they'll be getting started at the beginning of August. We'll have plenty of coverage on them coming up in future episodes, but their season opener is Saturday, August 7th against the newly named Edmonton Elks. And then their home opener is Saturday, August 28th at 7 p.m. versus the BC Lions at TD Place. And again, they'll be allowing a minimum of 15,000 fans, possibly even a full capacity by that point. So get your tickets if you are interested in any Red Blacks football. The CFL is a beautiful game, and I love going to those games, so I'm hoping to be able to make it to a few.
Support some Canadian sports and support the Press Box by sticking around after this commercial break here. We're going to be back with some hockey news, some basketball news, and the Euro Cup finale. We got to talk about that, so stick around. This is the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Hey, welcome back inside the Press Box. I'm Eric Fox, and with me is Zach Natto. Zach, what do you think about this Euro Cup final that happened on the weekend? There was a lot of talk leading up about football coming home because the England fans are absolutely insane. They thought that they had a solid chance. Everybody thought that they were probably going to walk away with it, except for the Italians and the Italian fans, because they were even more hardcore. But I mean, I got to look at it this way. The England fans started off Euro Cup final day with a bit of a controversy, let's say. They stormed the gates and tried to break into Wembley without tickets and overrun security and the stewards and stuff like that. So a little bit of a disgraceful effort by the England fans at Wembley. Unfortunately, this is kind of what happens when you have the Euro Cup final with England at Wembley in England. You're asking for trouble, so to speak. So what is your take on that, Zach? And then let's get into the game afterwards.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of history in this game. You know, England hadn't won the Euro Cup for so, so long. It was a big moment for them, big day for Italy. In their last game, Italy, they were really struggling against Spain. So I was thinking they would struggle against England and their speed. They've got some top tier players on that team. But throughout the game, it was just physical, physical, physical. Neither teams would give up. There were calls being made all throughout the game, calls being missed throughout the game. England got off to a great start getting that goal early on. I thought Italy's goalie should have had that. And then later on in the game, Italy tied it right back up and it ended up going into penalty kicks, right? So what were your thoughts during that moment?
Yeah, I mean, I was on the edge of my seat throughout the entire game, especially after England scored like 2 minutes into the game. I was like, oh crap, here we go. It's going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
I fully expected it to be a blowout. I did not expect it to be as close as it was, but all the power and all the props to Italy for sticking around, keeping it close. They're, like you said, their keeper probably should have had that first goal, but he didn't. But he stood on his head later in the game and in certain spots to be able to keep them in it. And then what can you say about penalty kicks? I am not a fan of deciding a championship. Any championship for that matter on penalty kicks or shootout of any sort, even in hockey, and I don't agree with it. That takes a team game down to an individual game, but I get where they're coming from. You can't have people play more and more and more soccer, especially when it already gone 120 plus minutes. So
yeah,
I'm glad that the Euro is over. And the crazy thing to think about is we're less than a year away from the next World Cup. Ooh. because of the delay, whereas usually there would be 2 years in between. So it's an exciting time for soccer. And if, as I said in the last segment, if you're looking for some soccer fix, get those tickets and go to TD Place and watch Atletico Ottawa. But what is your take there, Zach?
Well, hey, I mean, yeah, any chance you can to get to see live sports, take it. And, you know, the Euro Cup wasn't the only championship to be handed out recently. The Stanley Cup got handed over to the Tampa Bay Lightning for the second year in a row. They won again, beating Montreal 1-0 in the final to make the series 4-1. I think they're totally embracing this supervillain persona that the entire NHL fan base has given them, being 18 million over the cap, especially Kucherov. He's loving that kind of bad guy deal he's got going on. And recently they even dented the Stanley Cup. So, you know, they're really, really making this win a big one for them. It's a big history-making win for them. And you got to respect Vasilevsky, right? He's a legit living legend to me. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Vasilevsky was just absolutely insane in that Stanley Cup final. He deservedly won the Conn Smythe. And talking about when they dented the Stanley Cup at the same boat parade and celebration and stuff, there was actually a video that surfaced of Vasilevsky wearing the Conn Smythe on his head and just walking around and dancing. So just absolutely partying. I think that bender has continued since the Stanley Cup was awarded, and I think it'll continue for weeks to come. The funny side of that story is the dent needs to be fixed on the Stanley Cup. So where do they send it? They send it to Montreal to get fixed. Like, how is that for, like, sweet, hilarious, like, justice or karma or, yeah, it's just pretty hilarious to see that happen.
Absolutely. And now that the offseason is here, we've got plenty and plenty of rumors and trades to talk about. First off, we got to mention Duncan Keith is going to the Oilers. I don't know. I don't think he's going to do much for them this year, honestly. And Edmonton lost a third rounder and a future prospect in this deal. Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I get why they were doing it. I don't see him doing much, like you said, because he is an older player. He's near the end of his career, and that's part of the reason why Chicago was so keen to get rid of him. I don't agree. I don't understand the trade. Yeah, I was kind of mind boggled by the trade.
And another big move that happened more recently is Minnesota buying out Zach Parise and Ryan Suter's contracts. This frees about $10 million off of their cap space. I think this could possibly mean that Minnesota is interested in Jack Eichel. What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And it's going to be interesting to see. And a lot of the funny posts that I saw on social media after the announcement of Parise and Suter getting bought out was, if the Edmonton Oilers GM had just waited like an extra day or two, they could have got Ryan Suter for free instead like for free, not having to trade away stuff instead of doing the trade to get Duncan Keith. But I mean, these things kind of work in funny ways, right? So it's going to be interesting to see, and a lot more to come for sure.
It could honestly be they're just freeing up space for more players, or Kaprizov and Fiala want big paychecks, I think. It could be either one. Also, the Sens made a recent addition here, but not to the ice, to the office. They got Pierre Maguire. He seems like a great guy to me, but he's got a kind of sour opinion on analytics. Do you know anything about that?
I don't really know much about that side of Pierre Maguire. I got to say, I'm one of probably a few people, and very few people in my recent dealings with social media, that actually like Pierre Maguire. A lot of people just have an instant hate on him. He made this decision to come to Ottawa because he has been an NHL executive before. He's been in NHL front offices before. And obviously, as a lot of people are aware, and if you aren't, the NHL on NBC is no longer. Next year, it's going to be on ESPN, and there's a whole new U.S. coverage for the NHL next season. So he wouldn't have been able to do his job on NHL on NBC as the in-between the benches guy. So I think this was a perfect fit for him. I think that it's going to be a great fit, and his title to be able to jump into the front office and help with player development, and that I think is going to be fantastic. I think it's a great addition.
I think so too. He's a great addition to the Sickos, and the Sickos got hit with a little bit of a rumor from Elliot Friedman. He said that there's possible talks about Brady Tkachuk getting a 3-year extension to his contract. Are you excited as I am about this?
I mean, I'm excited. I was hoping for like a long term, like lock him up for like 8 or 9 years, a pretty decent contract, name him captain. But I mean, if they sign him to 3 years, they still might name him captain. Who knows? But yeah, I think that Brady Tkachuk needs to re-sign in Ottawa, and he will get re-signed. It's just a question of how long and for how much.
Exactly. And to keep the ball rolling, we got to talk about the NBA playoff series that's going on. The Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. Right now it's 2-1 in the series, with Milwaukee and Phoenix going at it tonight at the time of this recording, Wednesday, July 14th. I think the Suns were looking pretty shaky in that last game against the Bucks. Giannis was a huge part of that win. I still think the Suns are going to be able to take this one in the end. I don't know if they're going to give up a lead at all in this series. What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, I've been pulling for the Suns, and I'm looking for the Suns to come out with the big win and get this NBA final up to 3-1 and put the Bucks on the ropes, and then head home in game 5 to see if they can close it out on home court in Phoenix. But it'll be interesting to see what happens there and how they deal with that. But I'm pulling for the Suns. We'll see what happens, though.
Suns in 4 sounds pretty good, but Suns in 5 sounds just as good to me. And that's it for this segment. Moving on to the next one, we're going to be still thinking about basketball. Just we're going to be talking about the Ottawa Blackjacks, and we're going to be hearing more from Charles DB, the head coach, as well as Johnny Byrne Meskel, Johnny Buckets. So you don't want to miss that. It's all right here on the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Hey, it's us again. It's Zach and Eric from the Press Box. This segment we'll be hearing from head coach of the Ottawa Blackjacks, Charles Dubé-Bray, and the superstar, Johnny Byrne Meskel, Johnny Buckets. This was from last Saturday night's game, where I got the chance to actually go as a media representative and interview them at the end of the game. It was an amazing win for the Blackjacks. Johnny put up 24 points in that game. Take a listen.
I think we started the game playing tough, you know, ball pressuring and being in our gaps and making life tough for them. Then they came back with a punch, which teams do at the professional level. Some players making tough plays down the stretch, which is what they did to come back. But we had our own doing it, like Kadri hitting the floor and Junior getting that jump ball on the offensive rebound that they were trying to get. Tyrell coming in at a very important moment, getting, two big buckets in a row to just, like, shift that momentum back to us again. Roster-wise, finally be able to have all the pieces we think we need. That's one thing. But it's also, like, our guys coming into practice this week and practicing with a lot of force, a lot of intensity. We had a full week to prepare. We have our full lineup. I mean, having a guy like Johnny Braham-Meskel, who scored 24, if I'm not mistaken, tonight, is obviously huge. Like that, he allowed us to get going early. I think he also gives us a little bit of overall confidence by his presence on the court. He plays the right way. He makes the right pass, and he's obviously a great shooter. But he definitely brings, like, that presence of, like, he's an elite scorer. He's a professional shooter. And even when he doesn't score, like, he brings that element of fear in the defense that opens up things for our other players.
We're going hard. We're focusing on some details and just kind of focusing on our game. And it showed right from the beginning, and, it paid off. And even though they came back, I think we all talked about just staying together. And it showed at the end of the game, like, let's make good plays for each other. And we did that, and we won a really good game against a really good team in the league right now. I think we're getting better every day. The guys have been really good since I've been here. Everyone's been really welcoming, and I think we're just going to keep building off that. We're always known for having really good guys on the team, and that's an important pillar here. And, it goes to show when you play good basketball, those things relate. So I think we're heading in the right direction.
How would you compare the last couple of games to the way your team played tonight?
I just think that we gave the first punch, and, like, we showed them, like, we're playing on home court. Like, we're not the team traveling. We're going to defend our court. And we're going to let you know that, like, we're a better team than we were last week or 2 weeks ago. And that's the most important thing about this league, with the games so close to each other. It's just about being better than the last game. And I think we've done that today.
And that was Charles Dubé-Bray and Johnny Braham-Meskel from the Ottawa Blackjacks, coming off of their big win last Saturday night. Eric, what do you think about these guys?
Oh, I love Charles Dubé-Bray. I was able to get to two of the first three home games and be able to be part of that post-game media scrum. I was there for the first game that Johnny was playing after his return from France and finishing out his season over there. So, both absolutely incredible guys. Very, very outgoing, very willing to answer any questions. And it's fantastic to have a coach and any of the players that I've talked to, as well as especially Johnny, where they're just so, so willing to answer any questions that you have and help you out for sure. So
you can tell they're passionate about not just being on the floor. It's all aspects of the game. And I really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's definite. As soon as you see them out on the court, you can tell that they're passionate. And then when you see them off the court, they're just hanging out like you guys are buddies. It's fantastic to see. Well, that was amazing, Zach. I'm so glad that you got the opportunity to do what I got the opportunity to do. And between now and the end of the season, we'll both have an opportunity, hopefully, to get to at least one more game. But yeah, that does it for this segment here on the Press Box. I'm Eric Fox with my buddy Zach Natto, and we will be back and we'll be talking about the MLB with the Blue Jays, what Vladdy Guerrero did and the other Blue Jays did at the All-Star Game, as well as the one and only Zach Natto with his Press Box Playmakers. We'll be right back on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
We are back here on the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. I'm Eric Fox. With me is Zach Natto. And Zach, I don't know if you got a chance to watch any of the MLB All-Star festivities, but Monday night they had their home run derby, and Pete Alonso from the New York Mets repeated as home run derby champ, and he did it in exciting fashion. In the final, he was up against Trey Mancini, and Trey came out, and in his attempts he got, I think it was like 23 home runs. So here comes Pete Alonso, and he's like, okay, I need 23. The first segment he got, I think it was like 15 or 16, and then he just obliterated the ball left, right, and center field, and repeated as the champion of the MLB Home Run Derby for the second year in a row, technically a year off in between because they did not have the All-Star game last year, but back-to-back championships for him in the Home Run Derbies that were played. He's only the third player to do it, and the most recent was Yoenis Cespedes, who won it in 2013 and 2014. And before that was Ken Griffey Jr. in 98 and 99. So, you know, he's in elite company, winning the MLB Home Run Derby back-to-back years. And last year, or 2 years ago in 2019, the guy who lost to him in the final was the record setter, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He should have won that. I thought he was going to win it, and he got heartbroken by Pete Alonso. So, you know that Pete can hit the ball long and he can hit it hard. So he just seemed to not miss a single beat. He hit it and it was gone. Hit it and it was gone. And he didn't miss a single pitch. It was just absolutely incredible to watch. Did you get a chance to watch any of it, Zach?
I didn't, but I saw that highlight of Guerrero Jr.'s 468-foot home run in that All-Star game. That guy is something special, man.
Oh, yeah. Vladdy Jr., man, takes after his dad. There's no doubt about that. Like you said, 460-something-foot home run just absolutely obliterated the ball. And while we're on the topic of Vladdy Jr., he became the youngest player ever to win the MLB All-Star MVP award at the All-Star game on Tuesday night. So huge props to him. He is a insane talent, and he is going to cause the Blue Jays to have a very, very bright future. But Vladdy was not the only Blue Jay at the All-Star game. There were four of them in total. Marcus Semien, their second baseman, he went 1-for-2 with an RBI. Bo Bichette, unfortunately, 0-for-1 with a strikeout. And then Teoscar Hernandez went 1-for-2 as well. So they all played really well, and it was a great game to watch. Great to see the Blue Jays out there in full force and to see them hit the ball and be able to come out on top. The AL was able to come out on top and beat the NL 5-2 thanks to guys like Vladdy Jr. and Semien and Hernandez. And the winning pitcher, no shock here, but Shohei Ohtani. And Shohei Ohtani is just incredible. He was in the All-Star game Home Run Derby, and he almost won his round, and he probably could have won because he's leading the MLB in home runs right now. And the crazy part about that is he's a pitcher. So it's absolutely insane to see a pitcher leading the home run tally for the MLB. But now the Blue Jays get to refocus, get back in for the last half of the season. They're done the All-Star break. They're sitting at 45-42, three games above 500, but they do have a bit of work to go. They are tied with the Yankees for third place in the AL East, but they're eight games back of first place Boston. And in the wild card, they are 4.5 games back. So they do have some work ahead of them, but I think they can, if they can get on a roll, they can definitely push this and hopefully maybe even challenge for a playoff spot down the road.
I'm hoping, and hopefully that three-game weekend stint against Texas coming up is going to help.
Yeah, definitely. That would be a huge help. And now quickly switching gears, before we get to the Press Box Playmakers, we'd be remiss if we did not touch on the massive UFC fight that happened on the weekend and the headlining main event fight with Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor, the third match between those two, the third fight between those two. It was definitely not what anybody expected. It did not live up to the hype. It did not even make it out of the first round. Did you watch the fight at all, Zach?
Oh, I watched most of the pay-per-view, Eric, and I gotta say, Gilbert Burns and Stephen Thompson was an amazing fight. It went the distance. Gilbert Burns once again proves just how good he is, and he's a former opponent of Kamaru Usman. And another former opponent, Colby Covington, was also in attendance that night. And after Gilbert Burns' big win, they had a little stare down. So I'm smelling a little Gilbert Burns versus Colby Covington to see who would get the rematch against Usman. Another big fight was Sean O'Malley versus Chris Moutinho. It was insane. I've never seen somebody get hit in the head so many times by punches and still be able to stand and fight. Eric, Sean O'Malley hit this guy over 200 times, probably even over 300. He shattered a record in UFC, and it got to the point where referee Herb Dean called the fight 30 seconds before it was about to end because Chris was still getting hit in the head way too much. I think he definitely knocked a few screws loose in that one. And then the main event, McGregor and Dustin Poirier. Yeah, I was a little disappointed with the ending in this one too. It's very rare you see a fighter break his own leg. If anybody's going to do it, hey, it's McGregor. He's on a really big losing streak right now. And he was still running his mouth even after his leg was snapped in two, like Anderson Silva was pretty much. Even Dustin Poirier was tired of his trash talking and stuff. You know, he said he took it too far, saying McGregor was saying he was going to put him in a body bag and a coffin. You know, there's a time and place for everything. And sure, it's okay to chirp your opponent a little bit. But yeah, there is such thing as going too far. I still think even if McGregor didn't break his leg, Poirier still would have won via decision at least. He was still controlling most of the match. Eric, do you have any final thoughts on that match?
But yeah, it was unfortunate that Conor McGregor breaks his ankle. But in pure, true Conor McGregor form, like you said, still chirping, talking about Poirier's wife, talking trash talk about, oh, you got lucky, like, it shouldn't have gone that way. Like, it just, he never shuts up. He does not know how to be quiet. He does not know how to not trash talk. And we've seen it. He's lost like 3 or 4 fights in a row now. And I just don't understand why he hasn't retired. I don't understand why he retired and came back and retired and came back. Like, he just keeps coming back for more. And he's not even doing that well. It just does not make any sense. But yeah, karma hit him hard because he was the one that had to be taken off of the octagon on a stretcher because of the broken leg. So it just was sweet karmatic justice. It happened the way that it happened, and that's just the way that it has to be. But now let's get to the moment that everyone's been waiting multiple weeks for, because we have missed the last two episodes because of school and break week and everything like that. So Zach, let's hit up those press box playmakers. What have you got for us this week? Let's do a quick recap because it has been a few weeks. How are we doing on the year? What was the results the last time we recorded an episode, and what are you looking at this week?
Well, we did pretty good last time, way back on episode 15. We finished the week at 3-1, and now here we are on episode 16 with a record of 29-27. Still positive, but still have the potential to fall and lose it all. So let's get started. We've got the money line this week. I'm going to the MLB. I don't have any hockey anymore to bet on, so I really had to stretch my brain for this one. My money line this week is for the Boston Red Sox against the New York Yankees. Boston's beaten them every time this season, and they refuse to quit. They're the top of their league, and I'm going to slam some money down for sure on this one. My money line pick for this week is the Boston Red Sox against the New York Yankees in tonight's game. For my over-under pick, I have the Bucks and Suns game on Saturday. Both teams see the light at the end of the tunnel right now, and Giannis managed to get his team a win last time, but you can't expect him to do it all the way. If the Bucks tied this series on Wednesday, it would have been close, I think. And I think the rosters on the Suns is better, and I still think they're too focused right now to drop a lead in this series. Both teams are good enough to put up big points. My over-under pick for this week is over 218 points between the Bucks and Suns game this Saturday. For the handicap spread pick this week, we're going to the digital world. I'm betting on the COD League. Toronto Ultra covering the spread with a -1.5 map win over Los Angeles Gorillas. The Gorillas are the worst team in the COD League right now, and it shows. They're currently at +10 odds right now. That means if you bet $1 on them, you'd win 10 bucks if they won. Ultra's fast becoming one of the top teams this year, stockpiling lots of wins, including winning one of the major tournaments a few weeks back. Kleenex, Cammy, Insight, and Bance. Remember those names, people. They're Toronto Ultra, and they're going all the way. I can see this one being a 3-1 or even 3-0 victory. My spread pick for this week is Toronto Ultra covering a -1.5 map win over the LA Gorillas. And for my bonus pick of the week, we're going to the UFC Fight Night. It's a deep, deep underdog for this one, but I have Thiago Moses winning this Saturday in the Fight Night match. I've seen this guy before, and he's going up against Islam Makhachev, and he's the real deal, okay? But Thiago Moses, he's 26, and he has an impressive record already. At 19-1, his opponent Makhachev is the heavy favorite. I just have a really good feeling about Moise pulling off a huge upset on this one. My bonus pick for this week is Thiago Moses beating Islam Makhachev. Eric, what do you think of these picks, man?
Oh my God, man. I think that these picks are absolutely incredible. The Boston versus the Yankees thing, I fully expect Boston to hand the Yankees the loss massively. I don't think it'll be close. It hasn't really been close at all this year between the Yankees and the Red Sox. So yeah, I think you're bang on, and I can see another positive week, whether it be 3-1 or 4-0 possibly. Let's see what we got, Zach.
Guys, we're back and we're here to stay. Let's keep this press box train rolling. What do you say, Eric?
I'm full on. Let's go full steam ahead.
Awesome. Well, that's it for this week, guys. We'll be back again next Thursday at noon, same time, same place, right here on CKDJ 107.9. I'm Zach Natto. With me is my buddy Eric Fox. We're here to stay, people. The press box isn't going anywhere. Don't worry.
Have a great one, everybody.